The second lecture of tonight, it's a smaller one. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. This is a sentence, a verse from the Bible. It's nice to know that our Lord Jesus Christ appreciates so much our feet when we preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Let's read this part. But what does it say? The word is near. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? To them faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. First of all, St. Paul was saying in Romans chapter 10 that the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The first message I want to deliver tonight, evangelism is near and easy. Maybe many of you believe that the story of missionary or evangelism is a large one, is a hard one, so difficult to start. Actually, the word is near you mean that it's not difficult. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of God. Don't think it's a very difficult story. When you start preaching, you will feel how powerful you are because with the power of God. How easy it is. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. We do not care much for those wise and prudent people, and have revealed them to babies. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ means by babies the simple ones. You know, now the simple ones all over the world are more than 80% of the people. All over the world, the simple one, the babies. So imagine the story is not that difficult. Also it's written, none of them shall teach his neighbor. It's written in Hebrews chapter 8. And none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. This is, you know, the dream of our Lord. This is the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, that everybody will know God, up to the level that none of them shall teach his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. Everyone will know him. So by saying the word is near you means it's not difficult for you to start. Also it's written, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The heart without the mouth is a problem. Why he said that the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart? Sometimes the heart may have the word of God, but you cannot spell it out. Spell it out. You cannot say it. You are afraid of preaching. You are shy more than needed. You do not trust yourself saying the word of God. In case of Nicodemus, you know, he believed in God, but you know, he couldn't say it loudly. Nicodemus, after meeting our Lord Jesus Christ, he believed in him, but he couldn't say it loudly. Up to the moment they were burying our Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus came and shared in Christ's burial. So he couldn't speak it up loudly that I believe in him. So please don't be like Nicodemus. You met our Lord Jesus Christ, you believed in him, so why don't you start using your mouth? As far as the word in your heart, why don't you use your mouth? But also the mouth without the heart is a problem. Sometimes people may speak loudly the word of God, but without a real faith in their heart. Simon, you remember Simon, the guy who were baptized through Philip's preaching, and after some time Saint Peter found out that his faith is not honest. It's not from the heart. He was saying that I believe in Christ, I believe in Christianity, I will follow the apostles, but actually he was aiming at many other things. So don't start preaching if you do not know God by heart, if you do not love him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So remember always that when your heart is full of love to God, you will start talking. When your heart is full of faith, your mouth will spell it out easily. You will speak it up easily. But you should fill your heart first. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then St. Paul said, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we need both. We need to have faith and to confess our faith. You know, confession in our faith means meanings. You confess the faith, and you confess how grateful you are to God, and you confess your sins. So three meanings of confession. Now we are speaking about the confession related to the faith. When you believe, you confess, "I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ." So this is the kind of confession he's speaking about. He said, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." In the early church, those who were ready to get baptism, they were standing in front of the altar with the guidance of the deacon or the priest in front, and they start confessing their faith before getting into baptism. And that's actually what we do up to this moment. Al-Ishbin, mother or father of the baby, he confess the faith before putting the child inside the water. So before baptizing anybody, you should make sure that his faith is honest and he can confess it. He can speak it up. The stage of the catechumens, al-maw'uzin, catechumens or catechumens, this is the stage of those who did not get the baptism yet. They believed but not yet baptized. The stage of the believer, then you completed their faith, and then the stage of repentance. You know, in the early church, there were three areas in the church. The first area, Gambelbet, this is the catechumens. Those who attending the first part of the Mass, just listening to what's going on inside the church, listening to the Word of God, the Apostles and the teachings. In the middle part of the church, there were the stage of the repentance. those who believed but still in the dynamics of repentance. They in the process of repentance, they couldn't leave all their sins. They still have some fight with their old life. They are not yet baptized. And then the front part, the stage of the mu'mineen, the believers, those who got already the baptism and they are ready to get communion. And the catechumens leave the church inside the mass after the creed. After we say the creed, بِالْحَقِيقَ نُؤْمِن, the catechumens cannot attend the part of the mass talking about the communion. The repentants may attend this part, but they cannot get the communion, although some of them were baptized, but they are in the process of repenting. They couldn't leave all their big sins, major sins, so they are not yet ready for communion. But the believers means that they are still in the process of repentance, but they believe much and they are ready to get the gift. Then St. Paul said, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So this verse is very essential to us. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So you are just trying to let everybody around believe in him. When they believe, they will never be put to shame. Why you see people putting themselves to shame, and just by believing they will transform into new life? I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. This is a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. By believing in him, by following him, he is the one who will give them the eternal life, and nobody can snatch them out of his hand. Also written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. Stone for a foundation, Hagar Zawiya, Ruben Yeshua. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Hagar Zawiya, من يؤمن به لا يخيب أو ما يضأش أبدا. Also concerning the shame story, it's written, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water. So the process of preaching or evangelism, as if you are taking a little tree and you plant it by the water, the living water of the Holy Spirit, which spreads out its roots by the river, he will spread out after, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. It means the end of the world. He will not be anxious. You are giving a great gift to those you preach to, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is very essential also in our preaching program, that you should believe. The story of believing in Christ is not easy for the guy you preach to. It needs the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes a moment that the power of the Holy Spirit changed the heart of the guy. So he speaks openly, I really believe in Jesus as Christ, as the Lord. Whatever you say before is not as equal as the power of this moment of the Holy Spirit. You may be very logic, you may be very good in delivering the message, but still we need the gift of the Spirit to push him, the last push, to say loudly, I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ as God. Also written in Roman 10, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. This is also very necessary in our program. That how do you treat the other religions, cultures, nationalities? How do you look to the black? How do you look to the white? How do you look to the Chinese or East Eastern countries, they are all God's beloved sons and daughters. They are all the goals of our programs. They are all the aims of our Lord to come to this earth to die for them. So, however, Jew, Greek, old, young, Fa'ir, Ghani, whatever, however, they are all people beloved. The rich and the poor, the young and the old, we need everybody. We preach to everybody. Then he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe this sentence is very essential. We should keep it in our heart. You know, just by saying, when the guy says, I believe in Lord Jesus Christ, and then he started praying to him, Ya Rabbi Yeshua al-Masih, when he says, my Lord Jesus Christ, save me. Now he catch the heaven. I know he should be baptized, and this is very essential for his salvation, but he will continue his life. He may not say many other prayers, he may not know much about the theology, but he will be saved by this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe in this? Our poor countries here, our poor villages in Egypt, we meet thousands of widows who are very poor in knowledge, and they cannot know much. They do not understand much, and they do not know how to read and write, but they will be saved because they know how to pray. Even if they do not know Adhan al-Laz, they just say, Rabbana Yasua Bahibbak, Rabbana Yasua Arhamni, Rabbana Yasua Anqizni. They will be saved because they know how to call on the name of the Lord. This is our belief. Imagine how easy it is just giving this this key in their hands. You are giving them the whole kingdom of heaven. I know they should repent, they should believe, you should teach them thoroughly the everything in the church, but wait a minute, it's not by logic, by mind. The gift of salvation is the gift of God to his babies. So we need not to understand much. The target is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer, it's a personal relationship. So that preaching is wide-ranging and spreading just by believing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now look to St. Paul, how he's pushing us to preach. As far as it's not that difficult, just let them say, Ya Rabbi Yeshua al-Masih. But how can they say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody told them, in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now you are the preacher. Millions of people are waiting for us and others, because it's not that difficult. They need a preacher just to know, just to hear the name of Jesus Christ. Then they may accept or may not accept. But you are the start. You should deliver the message. And then it's their will to accept or refuse. So calling on him, how often shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Calling on him. To start calling, they should believe first. And this needs hearing. How shall they hear without a preacher? And the faith, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So the vocation, the calling, how shall they preach unless they are sent? So the start point is to send the messengers, the preachers. And this is the program. We are trying to send you to start speaking, preaching, whoever you meet. Also, your call it the start with your mission, and your mission is the start of people's faith. And accordingly, when people believe, they will pray, and after they pray, they may preach. So start another mission, and it will spread from part country to the country. So it all depends on your calling. Do you feel like God is asking you to share Him, the story of His kingdom, the calling for others? Your call is the start of your mission, and the start of your mission is the start of many people believe after. That's why it's written, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful. And why he said the feet? Why didn't he say the mouth? Usually the mouth is the major part of the story. Actually the mouth will be given the words, and the heart will be full with the power of the Spirit. Just go by feet. Just start walking. Just start your call and your mission, and everything will come after. The most beautiful mission in the world, the most beautiful result, the most beautiful field. Imagine you will do the best thing in your life just to catch one in the net of the Lord after. You are saving somebody's eternal life. When you save somebody's life on earth, it's a great deed. It's a great mission. How about saving his eternal life? Also he said, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. So we are preaching the peace. How come the peace? We are not, you know, social workers. We are preaching the peace of God. There is no other peace as we believe. Peace of heart and mind related to the salvation, related to the reconciliation. Sulh ma'arabin. So by saying preach the gospel of peace, the name of Jesus Christ is the key of peace. Also the glad tidings of good things. So we are preaching many other blessings and good things. We are preaching a new life, much more better life than before. A simple life, kind life, clean life, pure life. This is all for these days on earth and also the eternal life. These are the fruits of the Spirit. You are giving the Spirit lastly by preaching, and the Spirit will be fruitful with many fruits. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So it's important to know from the start that whenever you work with God, when you preach, do not expect that everybody you preach to will accept the message. You will face many who will reject or refute the word. Don't worry about that. This is quite known to God. They have not all obeyed the gospel. They have their role to obey or to refuse. They should obey the gospel. You just call them. And that way may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Al-Iman laysa lil-gamia. It means that we are not preaching to everybody. No, we will preach to everybody, but not everybody will accept the word of God. The fruit success is not always reachable, achievable. Lastly, we can say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So anywhere we go, we start with the Bible study. Very simple Bible study, just few sentences of the Bible may affect the guy you preach to. And you should choose the verse like Sonara. You choose the verse reliable to this guy, and you yourself trust the power of the Bible. Accordingly, he said, I was found by those who didn't seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. A foolish nation, it was meant by the Jew, you know. in people's eyes. They were saying, the Jew were saying, everybody around is foolish. They are only the chosen people. But the foolish nations were the accepted ones, were the first believers. So those which we call pagans, those who still worship idols, may be the first believers, the easy to call. Maybe much easier than those Christians away from Christ. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the world to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chain, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Can you make it manifest? Can you show up your face and your Lord? Glory to God. Amen.